This podcast is a free service of WBUR. Please help us keep it free. Go to WBUR.org and click donate in the upper right-hand corner. Enjoy the show.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Yay! Snow day! I so wish I could be out there with those kids because it is a day off from school and a perfect day for sledding. For many people, it's a day off from work. State offices are closed and so are many private companies. But in all seriousness, it's also a major mess for many, because plows are struggling to keep ahead of the snowfall. And at the height of the storm this afternoon, 100,000 residents across the state lost power, but that number is now way down to 57,000 residents. However, this afternoon, Governor Deval Patrick did declare a state of emergency. So today on Radio Boston, snow, snow, snow. It is all over the streets, all over the cars, and all over Twitter. In fact, it's becoming a regular tradition over at the Universal Hub to come up with hashtags for the winter weather event. Evan Jacobs suggested Snowblivion. My inspiration this morning? Snowly Cow. Well, we want to hear from you this hour. What has your snow day been like? Did you have to brave the commute despite the snow and head into work? Are you working from home? What did you do with the kids? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment online at WBUR.org/Boston. We'll be hearing from the entire WBUR newsroom today, but with me throughout the hour is Radio Boston's own Adam Ragusa. Hey there, Adam.
Hello, Meghna. I don't know why you want to be out there sledding. I'm quite happy to be here in the toasty, warm studio with you.
You're the most crotchety 20-something I've ever met, but still, I'm glad to have you.
You're not the first person to say that.
But also here to give us a snup date. We've decided that is snow update in Twitter speak. Right.
Did we really decide that?
We have. It's WBUR's Business and Technology Reporter, and today our guy who's got the latest on the snow, Kurt Nikisch. Hi there, Kurt.
Happy snow day, Meghna. It's funny, I actually suggested the hashtag winter because, you know, it does sort of go with the territory here in New England that we have these storms, but it is kind of a big deal because out west of Worcester, the forecasted snow accumulation is going to be 22, 23 inches. That tapers off down to a little more than a foot in Boston proper, and then really tapers off into sort of a wintry mix out on the Cape. But what's made this snowstorm kind of tricky is that it's really wet, heavy snow that's been bringing down a lot of power lines, knocking down trees over roads. That's what's really causing much of the havoc.
And also causing potentially very dangerous driving conditions still in this hour.
And the governor says, please stay off the roads if at all possible. And based on my drive into work today, people were following that advice because it was just dead out there. Many, many people staying home.
So that's one form of transportation. What do we know about what's happening over at Logan?
So Logan is still technically open, but very few flights are getting in and out. You know, there's the old joke, if you have time to spare, go by air in the winter. But the one good thing about this storm is that they feel like they're going to be able to get a lot of people out the next day. Unlike around the holiday period when we had that Christmas weak storm, that is when a lot of people just couldn't get out of the airport because flights were booked. These flights this week, not as heavy traffic. It's going to be a lot easier to, you know, get that backlog of passengers out of the airports and back into Boston a lot quicker.
Especially if you, I presume, if you're flying away from the eastern seaboard, since this series of storms has been really parked over much of the eastern United States.
Now, one of the more reliable ways of getting around is by train. And, Amtrak did have some disruptions the last storm. This one has been a problem because a tree fell down over the line around Sharon, but it also messed up a bunch of the sort of the overhead lines over the track. So at this point, Northeast Regional Service, Acela Service between Boston and New York, it's still on hold indefinitely until they get it fixed. They don't know when.
Kurt Nikisch, thank you so much. We'll get regular updates from you throughout this hour. Now, Adam, you are here actually armed with some really awesome snow facts.
Well, I think this morning we just sort of wrote down a bunch of things that we all wonder about every time that it snows. So here's one. What am I supposed to do with my car if I'm not allowed to park it on the street? I think this is one that we wonder about if you don't live in the city, or if you do live in the city and you don't drive and you hear them say on television, you're not allowed to park on the street. And it's like, well, where do all the cars go?
Mm-hmm.
So If you ever wonder that, here's the answer. People are allowed to park in special places during snow emergencies. So let's take Cambridge, for example. There are four parking garages where the city has a deal that allows people to park for free during snow emergencies, depending on which zone you live in the city. So, for instance, if you live in East Cambridge, you can go park at the mall, at the Galleria Mall parking garage, the Green Street garage in Central Square. You can park in these places until 2 hours after the snow emergency has ended. So you have to watch for those announcements, although most of the core municipalities will offer those kind of snow announcements by text or tweet or email these days, which is pretty cool. A notable exception to the two-hour rule, I should note, is 52 Oxford. That's the parking garage in Harvard Square, because Harvard owns it. So they only give you 1 hour.
Oh,
typical. Boston, for example, also has a number of municipal lots that you can use, and they're divvied up by neighborhood. It's actually really easy to search online if you go to the city website for the city of Boston right now. In Somerville, it's mostly school parking lots, which strikes me as a pretty cool thing. I guess the question I really wonder and still wasn't able to answer today, but I swear I'm going to answer, is do the total number of spaces in those emergency lots add up to the total number of street spaces that are eliminated at any given snow emergency?
Well, we'll see if someone out there has the answer. You can call in at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We also want to know what you did with your car, what it's like out on your street where you live.
Sue Clippinger, Director of Transportation at the City of Cambridge. If you're listening, call us with the answer to that question.
Again, it's 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Parking bans are still in enforcement, as far as we understand. And there are also issues regarding power, because as I mentioned at the top of the hour, 57,000 residents across Massachusetts still are without power. And so joining us now to give us an update on outages around the Boston metropolitan area is WBUR reporter Martha Biebinger. Martha, where are you right now and what can you tell us?
I'm looking out at the snowy wonderland that is the Bridgewater Common, Meghna. And the issue here is that wet, heavy snow that you talked about earlier, but only about 50% of the people who lost power here this morning have it back. And that's largely because what went here was a transmission line that apparently the utility is having some trouble restoring.
Mm. And what other stories are you hearing from residents out there?
Well, I stopped by the Townline General Store, which I had to do a double take, Megan, and turn around and come back because it was dark. But there was this big fluttering open sign and flag flying and a guy waving me into the store. So I stopped, and Vinny Patel, sure enough, is in there. It's dark, and he doesn't have a cash register that works, but he's got his calculator and a little pad of paper, and he's just taking cash, and he's trying to move the stuff out of the cooler as quickly as he can so nothing goes bad. But he's there, determined to be open.
Martha, you know, we've had major weather events in the past that caused not just power outages on the day, but outages that lasted days, if not weeks. There was that ice storm from not so long ago.
Right.
So do you have a sense that the power companies, you know, every time they learn sort of how to manage that particular storm, but they're constantly playing catch up, or did they seem rather prepared to you this time around?
I can't really say whether they had more crews out or not, but I can tell you that there is a lot of frustration from people who feel like it was just an odd coincidence that this line went down on the evening when there was a snowstorm, and they were very frustrated to wake up at 2 or 3 this morning and realize that the house was getting very cold and they weren't really prepared. Now, maybe it's the fault of some of these residents who weren't ready for alternative heating source, or they hadn't kept water or put other things that they needed aside. But as of mid-afternoon today, when a lot of people still don't have power, there's a lot of anger.
Mm. WBUR's Martha Biebinger, thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
All right. Well, a lot of reasons why, or at least I should say one of the main reasons why a lot of those power outages have happened is trees. High winds, blowing snow, and that snow-laden tree, all those limbs which fall on those power lines. So here to give us an update on the tree situation is WBUR reporter Bianca Bazquez-Tonis. Bianca, where are you right now?
I'm in Sudbury, and I'm in a parking lot of a shopping center. It's the only place to pull over. You really can't see in Sudbury very well right now. The snow is coming sideways. It's really windy, and I'm off of Route 20 here, and it hasn't been plowed lately. So it might be slowing down in other parts of the Boston area, but here
it's still pretty bad.
Mm. And so, I mean, have you heard reports of many downed trees and actually being affecting power, or have you seen them yourself?
No. Out here, it seems like a lot of them have been cleaned up. I have not come to a street and not been able to, you know, get through because of a tree or seen people struggling to get them off of their cars. By the time I drove through most of these places, it seems like they had already been cleaned up.
Mm.
There is, however, a jackknifed tractor trailer on Route 20 near Sturbridge.
Wow.
And that has caused a huge traffic pileup, apparently, and the ramp onto the Mass Turnpike has been closed.
Hmm. Bianca, if I can ask you, we actually know that you yourself had a close encounter with falling tree today. Do you care to tell listeners that story?
Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah, I woke up and my car was parked on the street legally, and a limb had been weighed down by snow and ice, and it fell on the top of the car, and the car roof just caved in. It kind of looks like a taco. We have not been able to touch it because it also seems like some power lines are down, even though our power, is working. So we've been advised not to touch it. Fire crews came by. But unfortunately, I was on the phone with the insurance when they came by, so I wasn't able to talk to them, and then I had to run to work. So I don't know how that's going to turn out, but...
Okay, well, it sounds like you have a sad but classic New England experience when it comes to a nor'easter. WBUR's Bianca Bosquez-Tonis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, well, we're joined now on the line to get the latest in the weather report from WCVB-TV meteorologist David Brown. Hi there, David.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. So what's it like out there?
Well, right now still holding out of bands of at times moderate snow in through Worcester County and then another band of moderate snow sinking just to the south of Boston. What we've noticed, though, is the back edge is already in through the Connecticut River Valley, so the end is in sight, but we still have at least 3 to 4 more hours of snow.
3 to 4 more hours. Did the storm end up moving a little faster than we initially expected?
Not at all. The storm has really been kind of right on target with the timing of the snow and the amount of snow. Forecasts were really for anywhere between 10 to nearly 2 feet of snow. And looking at some current observations, places like Wilmington and Winchester, about 23, 24 inches of snow. Lighter amounts as you move between Newton to Shirley and parts of Norfolk County, anywhere from 8 inches to nearly 16 inches of snow.
Mm, and what about when we get sort of further east and out on the Cape?
Cape right now is getting bands of snow. Obviously, since most of the storm for them was in the form of either a mix of rain and snow or rain, they're getting a couple of inches of snow. As you head closer to the Cape Cod Canal, upwards of 3 to 4 inches of snow, like Sandwich to Falmouth, 3 to 4 inches of snow. Places like Orleans just getting their first round of snow right now.
So if we have 3 to 4 more hours to go, David, how do you project sort of overall snowfall totals to stack up around the state?
No, I'd say, again, a foot to 2 feet of snow, a general covering. What we're noticing now is the snow is not as much, it's not nearly as moist as what we had a good 12 hours ago, so it's going to be blowing and drifting. So the next few hours will be kind of difficult to measure. Temperatures are dropping, wind's picking up, but the snow is continuing to fly. So again, 1 to 2 feet of snow generally across central to eastern Massachusetts, with the exception much less over the Cape and the island.
Mm, but blowing and drifting into the hours that would be the afternoon commute, though.
The afternoon will be the evening. It is going to be hanging around for quite some time. It's going to turn cold later on tonight and cold all the way through the weekend. So the snow that we have now is going to be around for quite some time.
David Brown, meteorologist with WCVB-TV, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Adam, stick with me because I want more of your snow facts when we come back.
Oh, I have them.
After a break. We'll also hear from WBUR's Morning Edition host Bob Oakes about his commute back home this afternoon. He traveled out on the Mass Turnpike. We'll get the view from the Cape. We heard that it's actually snowing a little bit out there. And also from the Berkshires, where there are reports of up to 30 inches of the white stuff. And we definitely want to hear from you. What is your snow story for today? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and the plows are out today. So are the shovels, mittens, hot chocolate, and school. Because today on Radio Boston, we're following the first big snowstorm of 2011 in Boston, or as Dr. Kaz put it on Twitter, Frostin. There's I really like that one. There's also another couple good ones. Those snow hashtags, snowpocalypse, as we've heard before.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Someone made a riff on that, snowpocalypse part deux. And snow my gosh and snow bomba.
I just want to call one really quickly, which is that the next time we have a big snow, which is not as advertised, which like peters out, I'm calling it, we're going to call it snope.
That Twitter hashtag from Radio Boston's own Adam Ragusea.
I'll expect royalties.
Who is here with me with snow facts. Actually, really fascinating ones, which we'll hear more of in a bit. We also want your snow stories. Have you hit the hills with the kids and their sleds? Or have you been too busy shoveling your walk every 15 minutes? Are you in one of those neighborhoods where you have to reserve your parking space after you shovel it out? And what do you make of this big nor'easter, the first one of 2011? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Here with some of the latest, of course, is WBUR's Kurt Nickisch.
Well, we just heard how the snow is going to be petering out, but remember, it's going to stay cold. So just because a tree hasn't fallen down yet or a power line hasn't come down yet doesn't mean it won't, because stuff freezes up there. It's still going to be windy through the evening hours. So the advice to sort of stay off the roads, you know, stay inside if you can, be safe about what you do, it really applies even though the storm is winding down.
And in fact, this afternoon when Governor Patrick declared the state of emergency, he reminded everyone and urged them to stay off the roads until after the storm is over at least 5 or 6 p.m. today. The governor said, stay off the roads for your own safety and also to give those plows and sanders a chance to do their best for you. Essential advice there to keep those roads open. You got other news for us, Kurt?
Yeah, I think one thing to remember about the folks who are out of power doesn't always mean that they're without heat, but sometimes it does apply. So places in Bridgewater have warming centers open and shelters open. But another funny thing for the people who have been staying back, the snow has also knocked down cable lines and phone lines. So if you haven't been able to get through to somebody, you might want to call a neighbor, see if they can go by and check on them. But it was a disappointment for a lot of folks who stayed home thinking they could pull up that on-demand movie and didn't get anything.
WBR's Kurt Nickisch, thanks so much. We'll hear from you again a little later this hour.
Sure thing.
So, Adam, amongst the other questions that we had this morning, and, I mean, this is a serious one. What do they do with the animals at the zoo?
At the zoo? I know. You always wonder this. Okay, so I called the folks with Zoo New England who handle Franklin Park Zoo and the Stoneham Zoo, and it's a multifaceted answer because there are many different kinds of animals. The giraffes are already inside. Giraffes don't do well in temperatures below 65, so they are in their special giraffe barn, which I imagine is tall. And they have been there since the fall. So they're snug in there. The gorillas, they call it the tropical forest where they're on display. And it's the temperature is in the 80s in there. And they have free access out to an outdoor area, but they can just choose not to go there if it makes them uncomfortable. The real problem is what they call the hoof stock. This is the zebras, mm-hmm. the wildebeest and stuff like that. So they all have to be taken to a special containment area, which I imagine must look quite a bit like Noah's Ark. The problem is in addition to their ability to withstand the cold, they have hooves, which are not so good on ice.
Right.
So the zoo is closed today, but when they open up again and you go there, there's a chance you might not be able to see a zebra because they don't necessarily let them out until all of the ice is cleared for obvious reasons. Because you can just imagine like a shaky zebra on some ice and it's really sad. Can I do another quick animal one?
Sure.
Okay. So is it okay for dogs to walk on salted sidewalks?
I wondered that too, because our dog, he kind of lifts up his legs every time he's out there on the sidewalk.
Indeed. So it can be uncomfortable for them. But the answer that I was able to glean is that no, it's not okay for them to walk on salted sidewalks, but not for the reason that you think. The National Animal Poison Control Center warns that salt and then chemical de-icers can build up in the little hunks of snow that accumulate between the pads, right? And then when the dog goes back inside, they lick their paws.
Uh-huh.
And they can ingest toxic amounts of salt or chemical de-icers. So the center advises using kitty litter for de-icing on your own walk. I don't know if that's that because they have a cross-marketing thing going on with the cat litter folks. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Did they mention to you the efficacy of the so-called safe de-icers, the ones that are supposed to be pet safe?
Those exist?
Well, I've seen them in stores, but I don't know if I've actually ever known anyone to use them.
Well, good question, but the fact remains that we live in a city, so you're going to have to take your dog. Luigi goes out on Brookline sidewalks, right?
Yes.
So, you know, if you do that, you're supposed to take your dog in and wash off his little pawsies on his way home, or you can actually buy little booties, which aren't just for, you know, to be precious. They actually have a functional purpose, and this is it.
So pet owners out there, take care of your animals, and which I'm sure you're doing on this nor'easter. But let's actually go back outside to see what the conditions are out there on the roads. We are now joined by WBUR's Morning Edition host, Bob Oakes. Bob, where are you?
Magna, I'm standing in my driveway. I made it all the way.
You made it.
I did. It was quite an adventure 40 miles down the pike because, as you know, I live in south central Massachusetts right near the Connecticut line. And it was a little like driving through three different weather zones because the pike between the radio station and 128 was just wet, open and wet. But from 128 to 495, you could tell how the snow was heavy and wet there because they had trouble moving it off while the center lane was clear. The side lanes, the right lane and the far left lane, had plenty of snow on them still. But then when you get west of 495 and the temperatures get colder, the snow is easier to move, and all three lanes of the pike were wide open west of 495 to where I get off in Auburn. But then I get on the highway, the 395 highway, the I-395 that runs from Worcester down to New London, Connecticut, which we call out here the Casino Highway because it's also the highway that goes down to Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, and that was completely snow-covered and quite a mess. But in the driveway, now that I'm home, my car's not in the driveway because there's too much snow at the end of the driveway, but it's just beautiful out here, although it is blowing and cold.
So how much snow actually do you have there in your front yard?
Well, I don't know if you can hear the wind blowing.
Oh, we can.
It's still quite snowy out here, but if you measure the snow, if you measure the length of the distance over the Mass Avenue Bridge by the Smoot, in Central Mass, we're going to measure the snow by the Bob. Only for you, Magna, am I going to step into the snow here.
Oh, no. We're going
to... And I'm up. I'm stepping in the snow now, and I'm up to just a little over my knee, so that's about a third of a Bob.
Wow.
And
plus an ear, right?
Yardstick for those of you who aren't familiar what a third of a Bob equals. That's 23 inches. And if I walk over...
All right, listeners, you can do the multiplication at home.
A really tall snowdrift that's also in my driveway. Make my way over. This almost buries the yardstick. It's 33 inches.
Amazing.
Wow.
So I'll see you Friday after I shovel out.
Definitely. WBUR's Morning Edition host, Bob Oakes, after a long and varied commute back to his home and measuring up a third of a Bob in the snow on the Connecticut line. Thank you so much for joining us.
See you later.
Let's get a call here. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We want your snow stories today. Bob Oakes measured a third of his height in snow down where he lives.
A third of a Bob.
How much snow do you have where you are? Ed is calling from Holliston. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ed.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I can tell how tall Bob is.
Well done.
Just a little story. I live in a condo, and they do all the outside, you know, the driveway and the parking lot and all that stuff. So I don't have a shovel, but I have to shovel my car out. So tell your listeners... If they're stuck, all they need is a broom, a dustpan, and a roll of duct tape. And I made a shovel and got my car out.
He made a shovel.
There's always a MacGyver in the listening group. I love that. So how long did it...
That's what my neighbor said. It's a MacGyver shovel.
How long did it take you to use your broom and dustpan shovel to get the car out?
A lot shorter than I thought because it was light, fluffy snow. I'd say probably about 45 minutes.
And so how much snow do you have over in Holliston right now, do you estimate, Ed?
We have pretty close to 2 feet.
Wow, okay. Well, Ed,
like
I would
say Ed.
Maybe it's time for you to get a patent lawyer and patent the old shovel and dustpan, broom and dustpan shovel. Thank you so much for your call. So, Adam, you've got another snow fact for
sure.
Us?
Sure. So here's one that could be applicable to Bob, given that he just sacrificed himself for science to find out how many units of Bob snow we have. So will having cold and wet feet make you sick? Will it get you a cold, right? Okay, so my mother has told me this many times.
As
like,
have
Because I don't own boots. And I you know, my wife was just yelling at me for not owning boots. And she was like, well, you got to wear different shoes on your way into work. But anyway, so the medical consensus is that being cold, regardless of how you get cold, whether it's from moisture or whatever, will not give you a cold. Okay, people generally get more colds in the winter, not because it's cold, but because they spend more time inside close to each other, right? So it's a virus passed person to person. So we're just closer to each other. Interestingly, one study that was conducted by the Army Research Institute of Environmental Medicine, which looks at the way exterior conditions impact human performance, found that there's a chance that cold might actually enhance or boost the immune system. That's what one study indicates. Interesting sidebar, echinacea, the popular immune system boosting herbal remedy, there was just a study done at the University of Wisconsin on 700 people, and the average effect of taking echinacea if you have a cold was about a half day taken off your cold, though the study author himself characterized it as inconclusive.
I was going to say, so some effect, but he's saying that it's inconclusive.
Yeah, but all the responsible ones say that, don't they?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you had actually also mentioned that people might get more colds because they stay inside and closer to other folks with colds. One person who is inside as well is WBUR.org's Andrew Phelps. Hey there, Andrew.
I'm so sorry I couldn't join you in studio today, Magna.
I'm sure you are. We were all kind of guessing you might have a snifter of brandy in one hand and your most comfy slippers on your feet, though.
Yeah, what a storm, huh? People wondered if this would be like a big snore-easter, you know, it's no big deal.
They just keep coming, don't they?
Oh, my goodness. What a storm.
But actually, I mean, you have solicited pictures, I understand, or views of people from people's windows of what they're seeing of the storm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. It just, the idea came to me this morning. I looked out my window and I thought it was pretty out there. And I snapped a photo and posted it to Twitter with a hashtag called View From My Window. And I kind of encouraged other folks following us on Twitter to do the same, to just look outside, take a picture of wherever you are, whether you're in a car or in your office or at home, and just take a picture. And as long as folks include the View From My Window hashtag, all one word, it would show up in this kind of live stream we've got on my blog, Hubbub, at WBUR.org. And it turned out to be a big hit. A lot of great pictures from all over Mass. View From My Window wound up becoming a trending topic in Boston within a few hours. I didn't actually count the number of photos, but it's definitely at least 100 people who have submitted. And it's a great way to just look around the state and see what it looks like outside people's windows. You've got pictures of the charming brick buildings and the snow in the South End and those crushed cars like poor Bianca with her taco car.
Yeah.
And all the shapes formed by furniture with snow on top. Very, very cool stuff. So I invite everybody to participate.
A really great aggregator of imagery from around the state. WBUR.org editor Andrew Phelps, thanks so much.
Thanks, Magna.
All right, let's take another call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can send Andrew at the hashtag view from my window a picture of what you're seeing, but we'd also like to hear what you're seeing. Again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. Eric is calling from Brighton. Welcome to Radio Boston, Eric.
Hey, how you go? How's it going?
Doing great. How are you?
I went to the zoo a couple years ago in the snow, and you were talking about the zebras. And normally there's rocks around the pen, so they can't get to you because I guess they'll bite you pretty good. And
zebras are biters.
zebras. So, but when all the snow happens, they can get over those rocks and they'll come right up to you.
Did that happen?
Yes.
I don't imagine that zebras are used to seeing all that much snow given their continent of origin in Africa.
But they blend right in.
So Eric, I mean, were you at the zoo recently, like today, or maybe it's closed today, but
no,
I guess.
Check it out.
Okay. And what's it like for you in Brighton right now? Are the roads clear?
We've got some power lines down, so they haven't got all the roads and everyone's out shoveling and talking to each other, so that's a change.
That is one thing that I've actually really always enjoyed about nor'easters is that because you have to be out there shoveling and you only have 24 hours, you meet your neighbors.
Sure.
Eric, thank you so much for your call.
Sure.
Let's actually get the view from out west. Jill Kaufman joins us now. Hi there, Jill.
Hey, Magna.
So what's it like out there for you?
Well, we've got a lot of snow on the ground, obviously, and I know that I've heard that we have more than the eastern part of the state, but it's a lighter snow. I think that is one of the differences also with power outages out here. We're doing all right. There's not really any reported outages in this part of the region, but you know we have both the Flat Valley and we have the hill towns as well, and there's a great variety of inches of snow on the ground. So some towns have up to 2 feet on the ground, and yet Northampton may have about a foot or so at this point. Likewise for Amherst, but it's been quite a storm. And usually, you folks in Boston have been getting the snow. We have not been having as much snow as you in the past mm-hmm. 2 seasons. So we're joyful. You know, for all the joys of winter, we're joyful. But you know, it really it's legitimate. And I think one of the better parts of this, also the good news stories here, is that people paid attention to the warnings of staying off the road and the emergency declarations regarding parking, and there haven't been, you know, at least on the side roads, I don't know about the Pike right now in 91, it's not been a well-traveled day, and so there's more, you know, less safety issues taking place out here.
That's one of the really good news stories about this particular storm, is people are heeding the warnings and allowing emergency folks to do the work that they need to do. Jill, I have a question. I mean, as you said, you haven't been getting as much snow until now, maybe as we have in the Metro Boston area, but did it seem like even in spite of that, that Western Massachusetts was ready for this storm?
Western Massachusetts, Megna, is always ready for a storm. You know, we've got a lot of recreation, like immediate recreation, I mean, as does the Boston area, but no, people were ready. I mean, you know, as of last night, you know, of course, there was all the jokes about, you know, wrestling over the last gallon of milk at the store and all that, but you know, there's sort of this festivity that took place last night before the storm began, which wasn't until well after midnight, as far as I understood. I was asleep at that point. And people are ready out here. I think that one of the kickers here is that I've lived in Boston and I've lived in Providence a long time, and I could spend days not being plowed out by my municipality. Out here, there's the towns are ready, but also there's so much agriculture, so every yes. single piece of farm equipment has a plow on it, and you get cleaned out a lot faster. But even this storm, this was not as fast. I mean, we actually had snow days out here, and I mean, even individuals had snow days. We didn't get cleaned up as fast. But in general, as compared to urban centers, and I'm not talking for Springfield and Holyoke right now, but more the hill towns and the college town up here in Amherst, you get cleaned up pretty quickly. Springfield has less snow than up where I am in Amherst. Springfield has about a foot. It's messy in Springfield, but it's it's passable. But likewise, like Amherst and like, you know, the hill towns like Berkshire County, most folks, if they could, stayed home. The folks that I spoke to this morning or this afternoon while I was out and about, you know, they were the tow truck drivers and the snowplow mm-hmm. drivers, and folks who had to work with the elderly, you know, healthcare providers.
Yeah, support services.
Those kinds of folks. So a lot of the most of the retail stores on the main road, which is our Route 9, your Route 9, were closed. Those that were open had an empty parking lot, basically, and a guy standing in a door watching.
Jill Kaufman from member station WFCR in Amherst, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. Well, let's swing way over to the other side of the state and check in with Karen Jeffrey, reporter with the Cape Cod Times. Hi there, Karen.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing great. You know, originally you guys weren't supposed to get any snow out there, but I hear you might have at least a little something?
Yeah, we get about 3 to 4 inches, I would say, from about the mid-Cape up to the bridges, a little less on the lower Cape. But we did have a lot of sleet and a lot of rain. So early this morning, I'm talking 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, there were a couple inches of slush on the road. Now we're getting a little bit of snow, but I don't think it's going to amount to much. It's mostly wind that we're dealing with.
Okay. And so, I mean, is there a major difference between, say, what's happening up in Provincetown versus down in Hyannis or closer to the canal?
Not a major difference. I would say, like, Sandwich, Bourne, Mashpee, thereabouts, they probably got a little bit more snow than we got Hyannis, Dennis, down to Provincetown. But on the north side of the Cape, it's quite windy. The water is being whipped into sort of a white frenzy. And it's pretty chilly out there.
Well, Karen Jeffrey, reporter for the Cape Cod Times, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
I want to get another quick call in here. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, whether you're on the Cape or in central Massachusetts or out west or right here in the greater Boston area. What's your experience of this first big nor'easter of 2011? Jim is calling from Watertown. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jim.
Hi, how's it going?
We're doing well and warm. How are you?
Yeah, I'm about the same. I'm out with my baby driving around trying to get her to take a nap.
Oh, you're literally your baby.
No, my baby. Yeah, she's in the back seat.
Right. Okay.
Well, Jim, I'm reading that you actually have a story of strangers helping out.
Yeah, it was great. I was out shoveling, and we got about 16 inches or so in Watertown, and I'm shoveling the end of the driveway, and these two people walk up and say, "Hey, can we give you a hand?" And I was just shocked. I found out they've been walking around the neighborhood helping people shovel out. They're here on vacation with family from Las Vegas, I guess, where apparently they don't get much snow, and they said it's just such a novelty to see snow, and they were walking around my neighborhood helping people shovel the end of their driveways.
That's great.
Jim, thank you so much for your call. Again, that inclement weather bringing people together. We've got to take a quick break, but before we do, I want to mention a couple things about folks who may not have heat in their homes or power. In Brockton, you can go to Brockton High School. In Whitman, you can go to Whitman-Hanson Regional High School. Those are shelters in Brockton and Whitman. And in Brookline, there's Devotion School in Brookline. That's at 345 Harvard Street in Brookline. So a couple shelters set up in local cities and towns. We've got to take a quick break, but stay with us because there's a lot more snow coverage ahead. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Wow, my back aches just listening to that sound. That is, of course, the sound of shoveling, because now begins the Great Boston Dig Out. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and today on Radio Boston, we're focusing on the first big snow day, the first big nor'easter of 2011. Or, as one Twitterer put it, precipitrepidation. I actually got it out without messing it up. Here with an update on the latest is WBUR's Kurt Nickisch.
Well, I hope you're home shoveling and not out driving, because today the state police have been dealing with jackknifed tractor trailers on Route 495, Route 395, and Route 84 East. So if that doesn't underscore the fact that you really should stay off the roads, even as it gets windy and visibility goes down tonight, that should. The folks who did stay home from work ended up getting rewarded with those kind of, wonderful little human moments when we're all sort of knocked out of our routine. And we heard from Andrew Phelps talking about all the pictures that people were taking out of their windows. I read about one woman who said that the destruction outside was nothing compared to what her kids staying home from school were causing inside. And maybe I'm a business reporter.
That's the true Snowmageddon.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm a business reporter, but I especially like this next one. Claire Wadlington from Newton, she was staying home with her husband and discovered for the first time, because they were both working from home on their laptops, that he's a fast typist.
WBUR's Kurt Nickisch, thank you so much, and I hope that as you head home today, you make it home safely.
Thanks much.
And speaking of getting out on the roads for the afternoon commute, for those of you who are, let's turn to Metro Traffic with Marshall Hook. Hi there, Marshall.
Hello to you.
I'm doing very well, and well, hello to you, and let us know, how are the roads out there?
Well, the roads, as he alluded to, are not great right now. The snow is still falling, obviously, in a lot of areas. We do not have as many accidents as we had before, but the conditions are still bad. We've got some. 93 North has one closer into town, and then a rollover up in Wilmington. Route 3 South, Route 1 North, 128 all have accidents somewhere. Not necessarily serious ones, but obviously when you already have bad conditions out there and you put cars onto the roadway that aren't moving at all, that just you know, makes things that much worse.
Mm. So do you expect, I mean, as people do sort of trickle out of work, for those people who have gone, that it'll be, while treacherous driving, mostly clear on the roads?
Yeah, I mean, I think the major interstates are obviously in better condition than your secondary or tertiary roads. I mean, 93, 95, 128 for the most part. A lot of them are down to the pavement at this point. But again, snow is still falling in a lot of those areas. And I believe temperatures are dropping, too. And so obviously, slick roadways become icy roadways, and that can cause some problems. You do allude to the one good piece of news, which is, you know, I think the vast majority of people who, you know, don't work in radio managed to stay home today and are not at work. So we're not expecting a lot of volume in terms of cars on the roadway for an afternoon commute. But, you know, some of us did go to work, so some of us do have to go home. So there will be an increase, just not an enormous increase.
So the lessons learned from that big snowstorm we had several years ago when there was total gridlock, it seems like the lessons have been learned and people are being sensible this time around.
Yeah. Well, and that one, I mean, you remember this one started about 4 o'clock in the morning. That one started at about, you know, noon or 1
midday,
o'clock in the
exactly.
afternoon. And there were people who woke up that morning and everything was beautiful. And they said, no problem. I'm going to go to work. And then it just hit us all at once. And that was December 13th, 2007, by the way.
Oh, wow. Marshall Hook with Metro Traffic, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Adam, I want another snow fact from you.
We are all told as children that we are all beautiful individual little snowflakes, but are snowflakes, in fact, themselves all individual? So Adam Gopnik, the brilliant science writer, just wrote a terrific piece on that question in The New Yorker. Are all snowflakes different? I will now briefly summarize it, but basically, when you look at snowflakes under a microscope, most of them have this very irregular kind of random geometric look. It was therefore long presumed that they are all unique. However, a study in the 1980s of snowflakes that were observed up in the clouds before they had fallen to Earth, just as they were forming, found that many of those snowflakes look alike. They look like little hexagonal prisms. And so it's now believed that as snowflakes fall, they bump into each other, they melt, and then they reform. They're blown around, and they get more idiosyncratic over that process, but they sort of begin life looking very similar. It's has this kind of delightful little human analogy, doesn't it? You know,
it is. And, you know, actually, it was a snowstorm from a couple years ago where the snow was falling in flakes that were large enough that for the first time in my life, I actually saw an individual flake. I could see its pattern with the naked eye. It was an absolutely magical moment.
Did it look like one of the ones they hang up in Downtown Crossing or something like that?
It did, actually, quite a bit.
Wow.
Let's go to a place where maybe they're not having so much snow now, because we've got a caller from Pompano Beach, Florida.
No.
Jay is on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jay.
Hi, good afternoon, Magna. Thank you for taking my call.
Let me guess, is it in the 70s down there, Jay?
Well, it hit 80 yesterday, and we got a problem tomorrow morning. It's going to be in the mid-40s when we wake up for a couple hours.
Really?
So we're getting out our mittens and our scarves for that. But I'm originally from Massachusetts, and I just wanted to call to cheer you up because I wanted to put all your snowstorms into perspective. This show shows you how old I am. Remember the great blizzard of 78.
Mm-hmm.
These are just dustings, what you're getting now.
And so how did you end up in Florida, Jay?
It was the blizzard of 78.
He was blown all the way down there?
I moved before the next winter.
Jay, well, thank you so much for your call, and thank you for...
One quick thing. Tell Marshall that down here, a true report I heard, they said driving into work, be careful, there's an alligator in the center lane of westbound Dolphin Expressway. True.
Jay from Pompano Beach, thank you so much for maintaining your connections to Boston through Radio Boston. Really grateful for your call.
You know, we have snow gators. Jay, tough guy.
Well, we've had a lot of fun, and because snow actually is quite a bit of fun for a number of people who are willing to brave it outside, WBUR's Lisa Tobin was one of them. She was out playing in the snow today. She joins me now in the studio. Hi there, Lisa.
Hi, Magna.
You had no shoes, I understand?
Boots? Well, I had a long day, and they are totally soaked, so
okay.
They're drying off.
So tell us where you went and what you saw.
Okay, well, first I have to admit that I basically ignored everything we've been saying on our air today and got in my car for this little expedition because there was a lot of ground I wanted to cover. But I'm happy to report that most people are being smart and staying off the roads. So first thing, I headed just up the road from the station here to Amory Park in Brookline, where there's a fairly steep slope and there were about a dozen kids out there sledding. That's where I met 12-year-old Alexander Feinstein, who was trying to use his sled like a snowboard. He told me his goal was to conquer the hill.
So What does it mean to conquer a hill?
It means to complete it.
Complete it?
Yeah.
Without falling?
Yeah.
So if you fall, have you conquered it?
No, if you make it all the way till the sled stops, you basically conquered it.
Okay. So can I watch you conquer it?
Sure.
Let's go.
All right. Whoa! Whoa!
Oh, that sounds so painful.
Would you say that counts as conquering?
No.
So we got to try again?
Yep.
All right.
Lisa, that sounds so painful. How'd it go?
We never did quite conquer it, but Alexander was still trying when I left, and something tells me he might still be.
Okay, so this snow is wet and heavy and slushy, maybe not the best for snowboarding, but great for making snow persons?
Yes, indeed. I next drove over to the Boston Common, thinking I'd catch some kids out ice skating on Frog Pond. Turns out it was closed, but I did run into a group of kids, as you said, building a snowman. And, you know, they were thinking heavy snow, great snowman. But when I did check in with them, they weren't particularly far along. It was more like a snow lump at that point.
Is this the base?
Yes.
Okay. You guys have a ways to go, it looks like.
Yeah, we just got here.
Are you supposed to be in school today? You get the day off?
We get the day off! Yay!
Because of the storm.
Yeah, and then we're going to make a snowball fight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who are you going to throw the first snowball at?
He's my there,
sister.
Brother.
So things pretty much devolved from there, and what was supposedly going to be a snowman turned into snowballs.
So overall, Lisa, did you have fun when you were out there?
Oh, I had a great time.
WBUR's Lisa Tobin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea, we've just got a minute here to go, and I have to ask you, you're an avid cyclist.
I am. You've
done a lot of biking stories for us here on Radio Boston, and I've seen people out there in the snow on their bikes. Did you bike into work today?
I biked into this morning at about 6:30 this morning. And, the thing about a bicycle is that if you reach a patch of road which is impassable, you can get off your bike and walk, which... Try doing that in a car. So, you know, I had a couple of spots that I couldn't get over, but it was fine. But the thing that was the quality of the snow, because it's so wet and so packable, what happens is that it builds up in little chunks on your wheel. And then once it kind of hits a critical mass, a chunk of snow will then kind of kick into your brake mechanism. And suddenly you'll be massively derailed, and it can be a bit of a shock. So be careful with that. I think I might walk home, but I still got there pretty fast. But I mean, honestly, the roads were deserted. I could have fallen and nothing would have happened.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't and made it here safely and have a safe trip back home this afternoon as well.
Oh, we're all staying overnight. You didn't know that?
Ah, well, we'll have to talk about that later.
Okay.
Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea, thank you so much. And thank you to all of WBUR's newsroom as well for helping us be updated throughout the hour today. You can continue to find news and weather updates at WBUR.org. And, of course, stay tuned on WBUR for weather updates throughout the day. And one last little thought before we go. I've been lucky enough to be inside and warm for most of the day, but a little earlier, I did venture outside. There's really nothing like having to trudge through snow to remind you about how out of shape you are. But I'm out here in a Brookline park that's usually full of dogs and kids and ball players. But right now, just after the peak of the storm, there's not much going on. And, you know, nor'easters can be like that. They're a pain, for sure. Your back aches just thinking about shoveling, the kids are going stir-crazy indoors, and the commute is a nightmare. But... it's this moment now, when the snow is actually falling. I think it's also beautiful and magical for at least one reason, and that's the silence. It's that particular silence of a New England winter, a silence that's so empty and yet at the same time so full. It's that splendid solitude of Thoreau and the deep introspection of Emerson and Frost. It's nature's way, maybe, of reminding us that, hey, we all deserve a little break from the chaos that's sure to return tomorrow. So, to close the show today, the sound of snow. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. If you're home, stay warm. If you're driving, stay safe. And do join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.